Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. I'd like to thank everybody that came out yesterday for the book signing at Barnes & Noble in Ridgeland. There are more copies there available for your purchase if you couldn't make it out. And those that did kind of had to brave the mist and the cold weather that we had. It's going to be an interesting couple days in Starkville, too. Going to be in the 40s today, highs in the 40s. And we got a big weekend on campus, not necessarily related to Mississippi State sports. But, yeah, if you're looking for signed copies of any books, you can find them at dutynoblebook.com. As you guys know, that's all the books, right? That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, When the Bottom Falls, and The Dude. And you get signed copies delivered direct to your door for the Bulldogs and your family. We'll have one more signing, and that's going to wrap up the Duty Noble book, The Dude book tour. You know, it's been out over a year. And so, you know, it's not like we've got people just standing online this time of year. When the book first comes out, everybody's eager to get it. But I'll be honest with you, makes me a little sad. It does. Now, I'm excited about the new project, and I'm going to start on it next week. But the reality of it is it's time to put Duty Noble behind us. And those of you that hadn't bought the book, you should. A lot of information in there about your university you probably never knew. Kind of the challenge is the athletic department. But, yeah, it makes me a little sad. It does. I mean, you put so much time and effort into it, and the book has done extremely well. And I'm so grateful for that. When I first had the idea to write the book, I had some people tell me, they didn't think there was a market for it. But we, you and I, proved them wrong. Yeah, and so that should be on the coffee table or on the bookshelf of every Bulldog family's home, and I would encourage you to read it. I plan to read about 4 books between now and Christmas. Yeah, and just to kind of give you, I got to finish The Prophet. I started that, and then things got a little haywire, and I kind of got off of that. But I got to finish that. That's a short book. And then I'm going to read Truman Capote's Breakfast at Tiffany's. And then I've got a book that's riding around in my trunk. I started it at a hotel during a road trip. We've got a listener that wrote a book. It's about kind of adventures with hunting dogs. And I'm going to read that. I feel that I owe that to George. And then we'll probably knock out a rock biography. I've got Anthony Kiedis here sitting to my right. I've never read that one. Scar Tissue. You have a lot of people that recommended that. Of course, he's a guy that's been in recovery. And then our friend John Karabi. I've got his book, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, talking about being close to being super famous. But John's a great guy. So I hope to knock all those out. I like to read at least 3 books before I write another one. A lot of it's just to kind of change the phrasing in your own mind, right? Because repetitive phrasing is the enemy of good books. And so you read other people's stuff, you pick up stuff, and kind of changes maybe the way you do things. I'd encourage you to read too, and I don't just mean on your phone. Reading is important, right? Reading gives you knowledge, gives you perspective in life. And I've written 7 books, so we're about to write number 8, and then we'll get into another biography. A Mississippi State biography. That's the plan anyway. The new book is a children's book, and I've never done that, and I've already had people reach out that are so excited that I'm doing a children's book. It's not a genre that I've ever dipped my toe in before, but it's going to be a collaborative effort with me and my sister, Reagan. And excited to do that. The title of the book is Mojo's Great Escape. You guys know Mojo. She has laid at my feet as I have written all of these books. And I don't know where she is right now. Oh, she's over there to my left. I've got a bed in my office, too. Not that I ever use it, but it's just kind of an extra bed. But she's over there laid up next to the bed, and she's going to be a superstar here soon. And so I want, and one of the reasons that I'm doing this is I want my grandchildren to have something from me, right? That is kind of endearing, right? And that's the way I look at it. And I've already had some people reach out like, hey, we want to make sure that we have you come and do this. And so it's exciting, but I'm a sports writer, but at the same time too, I like to do a little bit of everything, you know? So that's where we stand. But Mojo's Great Escape, the writing process for that begins very soon. And we hope to have it out in the spring. And yeah, there will be some bulldogs in the book. Just so you guys know kind of what the premise of the book is. Mojo, who is my blue heeler, and love her to death. And she is absolutely my dog. Well, they're all kind of my dogs, but she's the one, like, no matter what room I'm in, she's in. Like, she's never, ever, ever far from me. But one of my daughters brought up that I never mentioned her in the books, even though she has been my co-writer in many respects. And so the premise of this book is Mojo moves to the country. Like, she gets adopted and becomes one of the family's dogs, and they own a farm. And there's a lot that happens on this farm. And Mojo is not sure what kind of dog she fits in with. Like, you got the big bulldogs. They're the porch dogs. They kind of greet everybody. And just kind of, you know, they're protectors. And then you've got, like, the herding dogs. And you've got the guard dogs. And you got the hunting dogs. And so Mojo kind of makes her way around figuring out where she fits. And so kind of the lesson behind this is to kind of teach young people that everybody has a place and everybody has a role, everybody has a job. And sometimes we have to accept our own limitations in life, but also too, eventually you find your place. That's kind of the premise of the book, and that no spoilers, but I will tell you that there is one time where Mojo thinks she wants to be a hunting dog, and we have a spectacular conflict with that. So I've already written the book in my head. Now it's about putting pen to paper and getting everything pushed out. But that's what we're going to do. And a lot of Bulldog fans have reached out and said, hey, what's next? Well, that's next. And of course, I've had two English Bulldogs over the years. And they're going to kind of be brought back to life and be immortalized in this book. And they're the sage, old, wise dogs that kind of run the show, right? So yes, there is a Mississippi State element to this, even though it is not a Mississippi State book. But that's what's going on. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I plan to partake in some Bulldog Burger Company here in the next couple days. I would encourage you to do the same. It's the holiday season. You want to look your best in your holiday pictures. You know how that is, so don't tag me in that. Yeah, well, you know, when you eat the spring rolls, you can be tagged in every picture because the spring rolls make you better looking. And some of you have been skirting your spring roll intake. I've noticed. Your other friends have noticed too. They just don't love you enough to tell you. I'm telling you now, you need more spring rolls in your life. You can find them at Bulldog Burger Company, one of their three great locations, University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Come check out all the great options on their menu. The main reason you go there is hamburgers. That's why you go to a place called Bulldog Burger Company, right? Bulldog Burger Company is a fabulous place to go and have a great restaurant quality hamburger. It's one of the few delicacies in life we afford ourselves. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie, start with the Bulldog Burger. That's what I would highly recommend that. You can never go wrong with the signature Bulldog Burger. You could eat that the rest of your life and live life more abundantly. However, you want to branch out a little bit, maybe get the Smokehouse, the Bryant, the Pimentology. I add bacon to that. Maybe you don't. I need a little protein I can get, right? And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Right as we start wrapping up the meal, that's when I order it. That way it's ready to go once I pay the check. and I can walk out with that sweet goodness for the ride home. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, we're going to do some recruiting stuff later in the show. Mississippi State, the home of the Mississippi High School Activities Association state championship football games this weekend. There are already a couple of them in the books, and I want to kind of go over those real quick. We want to shout out those communities. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, you know, it's a big deal to win a state championship. Calhoun City beats Simmons yesterday for the 1A state championship. It was 8-8 after one, and then Calhoun City picks up a second half touchdown to win it 14-8. So congratulations to everybody in Calhoun City. Perry Lyles, our buddy, used to coach there. He did. Calhoun City doing a good job. Xavier Pittman for Calhoun City, 9 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown in the game, including the game winner. Yeah, think about that memory for the rest of your life, that you scored the game-winning touchdown in the state championship game. So congratulations to Xavier Pittman and his family. It all got started early. The Simmons offense didn't have much going on during the day. Simmons scores early on a pick six. Damian Gibson picks it off and returns it, and they go for two. And so all of a sudden, the folks from Hollandale, Mississippi, are feeling pretty good about life. Later in the quarter, Demarius Pittman has a 6-yard run to tie it. They go for two. And then, of course, the big moment for Xavier Pippen, a 33-yard burst to the house to win the game. So, again, congratulations. Absolute congratulations are in order for the Wildcats. Yeah, the Wildcats of Calhoun City, congratulations. And a bit of a surprise last night in the minds of many is Brookhaven High School upsets West Point. You didn't expect that. West Point undefeated throughout the year. Brookhaven just kind of quietly going about their business down there in South State. That's exit 40 off I-55 for those of you that travel that thoroughfare. But, man, how about the Panthers? West Point gets up 6-0 in this game, and then it's a wild second quarter. Wild. And Brookhaven kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit, but it's 19-10 West Point at the break. The second half, all Brookhaven. All Brookhaven. They have a 21-0 third quarter and just kind of coast there in the fourth to win it 31-19. And a lot of people tell you it probably shouldn't have been close. We had full coverage there. Brookhaven kind of shot themselves in the foot early on. But it's just so interesting. You go back and you look. You what do you know about West Point football, right? Right? What do you know? Coach Morgan done a great job there, right? But they're a running first team, right? They will get a lead and get in that unbalanced line and just plow you in the ground. But the scoring opens with a 57-yard touchdown pass from Quentin Thompson to Jamichael Strong to make it 6-0. Extra point not good. And then it's a scoop and score for Marquinhos Bell to make it 12-0. Right now you're thinking, hey, it's too much point, right? That's the big thing. West Point has got this. They're up 2 scores, and with their ability to run the football, you feel like, you know what? This is probably going to work out exactly the way Coach Morgan and those guys over in West Point won. Well, Brookhaven tacks on a full field goal to get on the board to make it a 12-3 game. It still is a 2-score game. So West Point, you're feeling good. Well, Brookhaven gets a stop, and then Jaden Allen on a 51-yard run makes it a 12-10 game. All of a sudden, extra points good. Things have gotten a little tight, but West Point answers. They close out the half with a 22-yard pass from Colt Whitaker to Bryson Hoskins. Extra points good. It's 19-10. So a huge, huge, huge moment there. Because you get the score before the half to kind of stop the bleeding, and you make it a 2-score game again. And then from there, again, man, Oberoak just knocks it out. 57-yard pass from Jaden Allen to Dreamus Heron makes it 19-17. And then Brookhaven finally gets the lead on a Caden Quarles 19-yard run to make it 24-19. They play good defense down the stretch. Jeremy Bibbs, yeah, a lot of Bibbs down around Brookhaven, as you guys know. they get a pick six late to kind of ice this thing and make it 31-19. So, again, congratulations to all of our friends down in Brookhaven. And listen, West Point, congratulations on a great, great, great season. We expect them to contend every single year. It's just what we've come to know in this state of Mississippi. And, again, no need to kind of hang your heads about all of that. So later today, we'll have two more state champions crowned. The Columbia High School Wildcats will play Kosciuszko. Now, this is going to be an interesting game. Of course, all due respect to my friends in Kosciuszko, all the Whippet supporters out there. I'm a Columbia High School alum. I'm pulling against you. Well, I guess more to the point, I'm pulling for Columbia. I'm not pulling against you, but I want Columbia to win this game. And, yeah, we're excited about it. Chip Builderback is back, you know, building back better at Columbia High School. And really, really excited, you know, kind of about what is to come. And so just so you guys know, it'll be Columbia and Kosciuszko this at 4 o'clock. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons we're getting the show up early, so we can kind of get things done. So we'll get the show up, and we'll head over to Davis-Wade Stadium. And it's a pretty cool thing, too, that the kids get to play in these stadiums. I'm sitting here trying to find a schedule. You would think it'd be easy to find, but no, it's not. It's not.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Holidays mean feasting. From cheddar biscuits to French toast bakes, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options to ensure your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on Hero.co for more information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
I mean, you click on the calendar and then, you know, nothing happens. But anyway, we'll find it. You know, we'll just kind of bide our time here until we do. But anyway. But, you know, we're going to have some recruits out there. You know, we're going to have some people on campus, you know, that need some time on our campus. That's one of those things that I think is extremely important. Okay, so here we go. Finally, we have it. Okay, so 4 p.m. today, kickoff, the 4A state championship, Kosciuszko versus Columbia. And then tonight, another Coach Morgan, Josh, will lead Warren Central against Hattiesburg High School. Hattiesburg has won one state championship in school history. R.I. Patrick Stadium there. The Tigers have done some great things throughout their history, but not a lot of state titles. Warren Central, of course, Coach Morgan, the original Coach Morgan, who's got three sons that are doing a great job coaching in the great state of Mississippi. They've won multiple state championships, and this will be an interesting game. So that's 7:30 tonight. And then on Saturday, it's a triple header. Man, can you imagine the work that our grounds crew is having to do? You know, hosting 7 very intense football games on the Scott Field turf. That's a lot of work. No better place to do it. Our folks do a tremendous job. But on Saturday, if you're looking for some football, if you want to watch on TV, you can. You can stream it, or you can come out to Davis-Wade Stadium. Bring cowbells. The noon game, Noxubee County versus Raleigh. And, of course, Jaden Taylor, the younger brother of Kamario Taylor, one of the stars for Noxubee County, will look to kind of lead them this year. The 3:30 game is East Webster and Heidelberg. Chase Kraft, kind of the all-everything player for the Oilers, will look to lead against Coach Ron Price's Wolverines of East Webster, and they're a good team. Known Coach Price throughout my career, he's a great coach. Robbie Falk and I talked about this the other day. I haven't had a chance to see East Webster this year. And I said, you know, what kind of chance do you give East Webster? He goes, you know, I don't know. From an athletic standpoint, Heidelberg might be a little bit greater. But, man, he goes, this East Webster team is good. They're very well coached. And that's kind of been synonymous with EW football over the years, no matter who's been the coach there. They do a great job of keeping everybody engaged. Everybody knows their role. The times that I've seen East Webster play over my career, everybody is engaged. It's a great, great program. It always has been. And Coach Price, a great guy. That'll be an interesting game. And again, Chase Kraft, the guy from the 2027 class of Heidelberg, already has an offer from Mississippi State. And then the Big Daddy, the one that so many people are eagerly anticipating. And again, you're going to be looking for something to watch. Tupelo and Gulfport. Yeah. Mississippi State has the starting running back from both teams signed. It'll be J.J. Hill, Cooper Crosby facing off for the 7A Golden Football before uniting as teammates at the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star Game next week. And we'll be down there for a day of practice, too, to get some interviews and pictures and kind of give you some ideas of what's happening down there. So just when you think things are slowing down, they're really not. So a lot to be excited about. Tupelo, I can tell you, I don't know if I have seen a better football team this year. And we have traveled extensively, as you guys know. It's what we do. We get out and go see these kids play so we can be, you know, not just rely on a huddle video, but have a chance to kind of meet the kids on their home turf in their own element and see them play. Guys, Tupelo does not look like a high school team, all right? And so the reason that I say that is Tupelo, like, they have size at every level of defense. We talk about defense wins championships. It's true. But there are going to be some games in high school where offensive execution is not as crisp as it should be. You have to have a great defense in order to win state championships. You have to. Gulfport going to have their hands full with that Tupelo defense, especially that Tupelo front. And I can tell you, I would think the best collection of linebackers that I have seen this year on the high school level are at Tupelo High School. They really run. They tackle well in space. And then for Gulfport, there's Cooper Crosby. Now, if you have not seen Cooper Crosby play, I'm going to encourage you to watch this game. J.J. Hill's exploits well documented. Back-to-back 70 player of the year, won the state championship last year, and such a selfless guy, ended up playing quarterback this year. And he's not a quarterback, right? You talk about a guy that's got the perfect running back build, it's J.J. Hill. But because Braylon Williams was suspended for a while, who is an electric player, signed with Ole Miss, J.J. had to play quarterback. And then the one game they lose, it's just kind of what happens, right? They needed to be a little more adept in the passing game, and that's just not his game. But now Braylon's back, and I've seen him with Braylon and without Braylon, and it's a different dynamic when Braylon is out there. He's an electric player. But man, this Cooper Crosby kid, he doesn't go down on first contact. He just kind of absorbs it. He is a big physical kid. And when you think about the future of Mississippi State football, and we talk about, scoring from far and all that kind of stuff, Mississippi State, over the course of the last 2 years of the Jeff Lebby experience, you've done a lot of two-back sets. You've done a lot of two-back system. I don't know that we could have done better than what we've done this year in the recruiting class with J.J. and Cooper. Those guys, if they stay together, are going to win a lot of football games here at Mississippi State. And you kind of get a preview of what to expect. Many of you don't really keep up with recruiting. until around National Signing Day. And our numbers on our views this week, and just so you guys know too, and I'm going to toot the horn of my crew. We led 247 Sports in content generation on National Signing Day. Nobody in the country had more stories on National Signing Day than we did. And very proud of that. And it's a collaborative effort. I couldn't do it all by myself. It would take too much time, too much effort, and the quality of work would suffer. But so many of you were just kind of getting up to speed. Like, Steve, I don't care who's committed. I want to know who we signed. And I see it all the time. I mean, like, my son could commit to Mississippi State, and there would be some idiot on Facebook that would say, well, commitments don't mean anything, right? I mean, you don't know anything about the kid, but you know, come out there with your tired and true nonsense. You know, again, your bully could commit to Mississippi State. Well, we'll see what happens on signing day, idiot. So I share that with you because there are a lot of people that, you know, it's like, hey, I just don't keep up with the soap opera that can often be high school recruiting. I just want to know who we signed. And so you'll have the opportunity to see that Saturday night, to see two of the brightest stars in the Mississippi State class. And Cooper Crosby is undervalued as a prospect. When you see him play, you're going to be like, how in the world is this guy a three-star? You're going to think the same thing of Jaden Hill because he shouldn't be a three-star either. And I remember the day that they evaluated him and put an 85 next to his name. I lost my mind. And I got on the phone. I'm like, are you people kidding me? What are you doing? Well, you know, he went to this combine and he only ran like 4.7. And I was like, have you watched the film? There's some guys that aren't going to run a grade 40, but they got good game speed. And then, of course, what does Jaden do? He responds by leading Tupelo to the state championship. And I give Jaden Hill a lot of credit, too. He committed to state way back in June of 24, before he'd even played his junior season. And a lot of people were like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, he signed with Mississippi State. Yeah, he took an official visit to Arkansas, and he had a bunch of other offers and opportunities, and, you know. But he stayed the course. And there are so many times we talk about that. Man, we got to get our best players to stay in state. And then we didn't do a good job of that this year. And that's state and Ole Miss. That's not just Mississippi State. We had way too many kids go out of state. But when you get a kid like Jaden Hill, who has a lot of credibility within the high school playing community, that's a drawing card for you. And I think the fact that Jeff Lebby and Coach Anthony Tucker were able to pull this thing off to get both Cooper Crosby and Jaden Hill is just tremendous. Tremendous. And the top three running backs in the state of Mississippi at one point were all committed to Mississippi State. Demarius Yates from Kemper County ends up going to Ole Miss, and it'll be interesting to see how they use him. And I like him too. Had a chance to go see him play last year as well. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, what he does on the college level. He's not as big and robust, but he's a very explosive player. And I'm not a guy that's ever going to downplay kids just because they go to a school that I don't really care for. So this year has been a good year for running backs in the state of Mississippi, and I think state got the two that are probably the most college game ready. And so, again, you get a preview of that. And for those of you that don't truly have a rooting interest in the state championship games, as on behalf of the rest of the grateful Columbia High School alumni, we're going to ask for some good vibes for our Wildcats. And, yeah, if we lose, I got good friends in Kosciuszko. But, you know, I'm not as emotionally invested in this as I am Mississippi State, because Mississippi State success impacts our business. And, of course, we've kind of committed our adult life to the coverage of Mississippi State. But I remember being a kid growing up in Columbia, Mississippi, and we won the state championship in 1982, and my neighbor, Chip Lofton, was the starting quarterback, and we lost Chip due to COVID. God rest his soul. But it was such a big deal for us that we knew Chip Lofton, much older than us. I was 10 years old, and you know, and Chip was a high school senior. And Chris, his younger brother, a year younger than me, was one of my best friends. And so every Saturday morning, even though we had watched the game on Friday, we would go down Saturday morning and visit with Mr. B.G. Lofton, who was a longtime football official in the Metro and Conference USA. Matter of fact, last time I saw Mr. BG was when Columbia High School won the baseball state championship in 2011. I was there to take pictures and document all that stuff. But on Saturday mornings, we would go down and visit with Chip and just have him kind of recap the game for us. You know, how'd you do? What'd you think? What'd you play? What'd you see? And to see my neighbor lead my high school to a state championship in 82 was incredibly special. And so I think about Chip a lot in moments like this. You know, it kind of reminds you of being a kid. There were so many other times that we've had great teams, and Coach Joey Porter did such a great job with the Notre Dame box at Columbia High School. We were so difficult to prepare for, and there were so many times we just couldn't get over the hump and win that South State Championship and give ourselves a chance. And so when we won it in recent years, it's been a big deal for a guy that grew up a Wildcat and wore those school colors on the fields of play. You know, I was a former Columbia High School player too, you know, but I transitioned to be a Columbia High School soccer player quickly thereafter because I knew I didn't have a future in college football, but I thought maybe perhaps I did in soccer. And so, yeah, Wildcats for life, blue and gold guy all the way. We're very proud to be the people of Walter Payton. And that's a super cool thing. As you guys know, I got my brick on the Wildcat Walk of Fame, which is super cool. But, man, row one, brick one, you know whose name's up there. It's Walter Payton. And that absolutely has to be the case. And my high school principal, Gary Smiley, was an all-star track star at Mississippi State. And just, you know, a few rows above me is Gary Smiley, the cowboy. And love Gary and Miss Judy and Paige, Brooks, everybody. You know, I love that family. And so grateful to be a part of a Columbia High School family. And when I was a kid, man, I could not wait to get away from there. You know what I mean? It's just like, I think that's the case for everybody. You know, I wanted to go to Hollywood and be a rock star and all this kind of stuff. You know, wanted to emulate the things I saw on television. You know, I wanted to get out of there. But I can tell you, man, in recent years, I have developed a tremendous amount of pride for my hometown, where I come from. And man, they have embraced me. And I tell you, when I left Columbia, as you guys know, I left under very difficult circumstances. And I remember the very first book signing we did in Columbia. And I didn't want to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to do it because I was bitter, right? And I told my agent, I was like, no, we'll do it in Hattiesburg. Anybody that really loves me will drive over from Columbia. And he goes, no, I'm going to insist you do this. And it wasn't just about selling books. It was about me healing my own heart. And so we pull up to the place, and they're like people that are already there. You know, we get there like an hour early to set up and everything, and there's people that are already there. And the very first guy that walked through the door, I wasn't even that close with him in high school. He was a year older than me. He's a guy named Tim Broom. And then he walked in, and he smiled so big, and he said, Steve, I just want you to know how proud we are of you. And even to this day, that means a lot to me, you know, to be embraced by your hometown. And I didn't know I wanted a brick on the Wildcat Walk of Fame until they offered me one. I didn't know there was a Wildcat Walk of Fame. And when I go down and spoke to their creative writing class last year, they said, we wanted to have your red brick ready, but wasn't sure how you wanted it. And so the cool thing, man, to be able to have that brick installed the week of Thanksgiving. I find out we're in Meridian on our way to Columbia, and I find out they send me the screenshot. And so I got to bring my mom out there. That woman that used to sit up at nights worrying about me, worrying about my salvation, worrying about my safety, and worrying about my life itself, to be able to share that with her, to bring her to the high school that we both attended, and have her have an opportunity to see her son's name kind of immortalized in that brick on the Wildcat Walk of Fame, pretty special. It truly, truly, it was honestly one of the most special moments of my adult life. To be able to share that moment with my mom, to let her go out there and see that. And, you know, who knows how life works the rest of the way. But if nothing else, the fine folks at Columbia High School have embraced me and honored me as a very distinguished alum. And that means a tremendous amount to me. All right, time for our player of the day, sponsored by CloseWithBlair.com. Let's kind of get you familiar with Blair if you're not already. You never know when life's going to throw you a curveball. You never know when you're going to have to pick up and move. And maybe it's a planned situation, but sometimes things change in life. Maybe it's a relationship change, a job change, or perhaps the health of your parents changes. There's a lot that goes into life. Let Blair do some heavy lifting for you, because having a place to store your stuff and lay your head is paramount to success and happiness in life. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save that number in your phone as mortgage guy. You never know when you may need that. He can be your advocate with underwriting. 25 years of experience. Nobody stays in a meat grinder of an industry like that by accident. You got to be a closer. Coffee is for closers. Blair takes it by IV. That's how much closing he does. That's the name, closewithblair.com. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler, the only name to know. And if you've dreamed of that game day condo, it may prove to be more affordable than you think. Blair can come up with some creative ways to make that dream a reality. That's closewithblair.com. Our player of the day, as we begin to kind of move forward here, is going to be Mark Votler. Mark Votler, not a player. He's a staffer. He's your director of player personnel. Good job getting a high school and junior college class to bed. And now it's about the portal. You start doing what we call pre-portaling, right? You start doing some evaluations, because all these agents are out here already telling guys. Some guys have already declared. As you guys know, Mississippi State's already had some guys declare that they plan to enter the portal. So you start breaking that film down. You begin to start prioritizing certain players and certain positions. And so the job that they're going to do this month is extremely important. And the portal opens officially on January 2nd. And so by the time that we get to January 2nd, you know, a lot of schools out there will already have an idea of who they want to prioritize. And so the work that we do over the course of the next 3.5 weeks will likely determine how successful we are in the portal. And I think, kind of talking about some recruiting stuff too, that you know, that for every high school player you take that's a portal guy, you can't. And so we've got to make some very important decisions. We can't make emotional decisions. We have to think about what's best for next year's team, right? You always want to think long term, but the way this roster management kind of piece has changed, it's almost like, you know, everything you do has to be about next year's team. Not 2 years from now or 3 years from now, but next year's team. You got to do what you can to identify and procure the pieces necessary to put a winning product on the field next year. And you think with Kamario Taylor coming back, we got to bring in some pieces around him. It should be nearly impossible to miss a bowl game next year. You got to be in a situation where you think, I got to make some changes defensive staff-wise and personnel-wise. You know, Will Whitson's a name, too, that people are curious about. We hear that he has every intention to return to Mississippi State next year. That'd be huge, right? You guys knew when we signed him last year at a portal, you were jacked about him. 2 weeks in, you felt even better, right? You're like, oh, we got a guy that can create some push and get some pressure right up the middle, right? And so that's a good job of Votler and those guys on staff prioritizing a position and finding people that fit our culture and our scheme. So for those of you that are the praying type, put Mark Votler on your prayer list and think about the work that he's got to do to impact the Mississippi State roster as we head into 2026. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. Got a message just last night. I'm not going to tell you the instrument because I don't want to give it away. Another listener has successfully procured an incredible stringed instrument for somebody in their family from Calido Guitars. I'm going to read you part of the message because I think it's important that you guys know this. And you know, the next part of that is kind of understand, maybe I can't find it. But basically the premise of the message was this, is they called and spoke to Daniel, who is the grandfather and the godfather of Calido Guitars, and said, Steve, by the time I got off the phone with him, I felt like he was a friend. Not only did he handle the purchase with professional quality and exemplary service, they talked Egg Bowls and Bulldog football and the Boneyard and everything else that goes along with that. These are not just ordinary people you're dealing with. These are great people. These are Bulldogs. This is a Mississippi State owned and operated guitar shop, stringed instrument shop, based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. They have family here in Starkville. So no matter what you're looking for, well, maybe you've got a friend or a relative that is just getting into guitar, then that's the way to go, right? You can buy them a high-quality instrument at a discounted price. So we got beginner guitars, we got professional-grade guitars, and we've had testimonials from Boneyard listeners that have gotten both, right? And so your friends are soliciting Kalito guitars. So I would encourage you to do the same. Visit their website, KalitoGuitars.com. And they got a promo code to help you. Whether you call it in, whether you stop in person, or whether you order online, promo code BSR. What that does for you is it gives you a 10% discount off the already low price. It's not available anywhere else. It's just the Boneyard listeners. No matter what school you cheer for, you can use BSR and get that discount. The Ken Folks discount, right? In addition to that, no shipping. And what a bonus that is this time of year, right? No sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. So everybody wins. Your player wins, Kalita Guitars wins, and Mississippi State wins. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Make Kalita Guitars your one-stop shop for all your stringed instrument needs. Professional grade, beginner, mid-grade, everything you need for every level of skill is available to you at a discounted price at KalitoGuitars.com. All right, let's take a quick look at our top 10 list today. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, and I don't know how you could be unless you're somebody like me. Yeah, I don't know if you, how much you keep up with, and they call it classic rock, but man, I tell you what, that hurts my feelings a little bit. But Guns N' Roses dropped a new single yesterday. There have been 6 singles dropped since Slash and Duff returned to the band. And so what I thought we'd do today is we'll talk about this new Guns N' Roses music, but also, too, let's put a top 10 list together of Guns N' Roses songs from the last 10 years. Singles from the last 20 years, pardon me. So that'll include a couple with Bumblefoot and Buckethead. And for those of you that don't know that, just Google it, okay? There's no point telling everybody that you're a boomer or you're late or whatever, you know? So here are the top 10 Guns N' Roses singles of the last 20 years. So, of course, that doesn't include anything from Appetite for Destruction or the Use Your Illusion albums or Spaghetti Incident or any of that, GNR Lies. We love those albums. They're a part of our our teenage years. But Guns N' Roses putting new music out. They plan to record a full-length album in the next couple years. Just announced another stadium tour. It's crazy. Glad to see most of those guys back together. And kind of the main trio, of course, is Axl, Slash, and Duff. Steven Adler just hadn't kind of kept it up. Izzy not playing much at all these days. He has done some cameos. But I don't know if we ever get the full classic lineup back together. But to celebrate new music from Guns N' Roses, here are my top 10 Guns N' Roses songs from the last 20 years. And who'd have thought we'd ever have new music with Axl, Slash, and Duff together? But we do. Okay, going back to the Chinese Democracy album, and this is kind of a shout-out to my son, Ani Robertson. When Chinese Democracy came out, we ran and got it immediately. And he listened to it nonstop. And this was one of his favorite songs on that album that maybe wasn't a single. So we're kind of bending our own rules here, but there are rules. We'll do what we want to. But There Was a Time. Number 10, There Was a Time off a Chinese Democracy album. Number 9, this was a single off that same album. And I got some play on the national airwaves, but it's Better. Better from GNR's Chinese Democracy album. Number 8, one of the newer ones, right? One of the newer ones with Slash and Duff. It's Absurd. And I might should have had this one a little bit higher. It's just one of those things that, I don't know. It's good. It's just not great. Number 7, Perhaps. And I really like this one. I really do. I just like the ones ahead of it better. But perhaps is a good one, you know, that opens up. Perhaps I was wrong. Yeah, maybe so. But it sounds kind of vintage guns with maybe like some newer technology in it. Another new single that came out recently, number six, it's Atlas. Now, this is a little more up-tempo. Maybe not like Double Talking Jive or something like that, but it is more of a rock song, and the guitar part from Slash, always top shelf. Number five, back to Chinese Democracy. And I remember hearing that opening riff for the first time, and I'm like, you know what? This is pretty crazy. This is pretty crazy. It's not Slash, but it's a great rock riff. This is Buckethead, the title track off Chinese Democracy. I think the vocal's pretty good too. Number four, and this is the brand new one. Just came out yesterday, brand new. Kind of a piano song with some nice build into it. Yeah, that classic Guns N' Roses thing, you know. Nothing. The cover art is interesting. Yeah, nothing. But I think you'll dig that one. Number three, and if you were on Rock Band, the great video game Rock Band, the Green Day ruined the franchise. It's Shackler's Revenge, and it was a more difficult track, had a much higher level of difficulty. So if you mastered this on Expert, you might want to consider picking up a real guitar. Number two, came out a little while ago. I like this one a lot. I like the lyrical content probably a little bit more than some of the other tracks, but it's the General, number two. But number one, and this actually goes back, this was an old song that was just kind of like laying around, and they decided that, you know what, let's release this thing, you know, and kind of let people know that we're back. And they did. And it's a track, Hard School. Hard School with a K. If that doesn't kind of time it, you know, for the 80s. But it was actually a song that was recorded really some time ago. And it was released in January of 22. But Hard School was actually recorded a long, long time ago. And then there was a part of it that was going to be under the Chinese Democracy umbrella. But it actually goes back much, much longer. Much, much longer. And they teased it in the early 2000s and then finally, you know, put it out. But that's your number one track. Yeah, I think it's kind of vintage Guns N' Roses. But little did you know, the GNR was putting out new music. And so again, with them, you know, making some things happen. Touring the world again. Turning on Appetite for Destruction and the Use Your Illusion albums to Brand New Generation. And again, they just announced another world tour. So Guns N' Roses back in full force making new music. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We got a few kind of lined up, but you never know. Your idea may be more intriguing to me. And sometimes I stumble across stuff like new Guns N' Roses music. Well, we got to address that. So reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend, on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can get our great list on Spotify with that same handle. Just hit subscribe, okay? And you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Okay, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have what we want. Days like today, I'm glad that I have some nice hoodies from Campus Bookmart. I'm going to be out there covering state championship games, and I want to be warm and I want to be dry. So you owe it to yourself to maybe you're not a hoodie person. Most women are. Not all dudes are. I've noticed this. Everybody should be. The hoodie is a great fashion choice. It is. There were times some people, you know, kind of railed against that, but they were wrong. The hoodie is a staple for life. Just ask your teenager. But even if you don't want a hoodie, you can get a fashionable quarter zip, some polos, a button-up. There's so many great options to choose from when it comes to apparel from Campus Bookmart. Be sure and check them out today. For all the Bulldogs on your shopping list, it is 20 days officially from Christmas, Mom. I know you like the late rush and the hustle and bustle. Maybe you hadn't been in the Christmas spirit. Well, you better get in the Christmas spirit. Don't overthink it. Use Campus Bookmart for all of your Mississippi State merchandising needs. If you can't make it to town and see them, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Lawyer Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, along those lines, we got to be complete. We've had a good basketball week so far, and we needed one, right? We did. We want Mississippi State to win every game they play in every sport, every time out. We do. Doesn't always work out that way, but that's the sincere Bulldog hope. Let's go back a little bit here. Let's go back. We talked about on Wednesday's show, we felt like that matchup with Georgia Tech was favorable to Mississippi State. Turns out that it was. And the Bulldogs may be their most complete performance of the year. And granted, I don't think Georgia Tech is great. But you know what? We'll take a dub wherever we can get one. A road win over a Power 4 team, we're happy to have that. As Bulldogs win on behalf of the Southeastern Conference and the SEC-ACC Challenge, Bulldogs win 85-73. And there really wasn't a lot of doubt in this one. Stayed up 9 at the break, and then you outscore them by 3 in the second half. So it just never really felt like State was in any jeopardy here. Josh Hubbard, 25 points from the floor in 33 minutes of action, and a perfect 7-7 from the free throw line. Also handed out 5 assists in that ball game. Jaden Epps continues to be State's secondary scorer, and man, what a great addition he's been. You remember he missed some time, and people were a little bit worried. Our people were like, no, it's not a Kanye Clary situation. He's going to be fine. He has been. 14 points for him, 5-7 from the line, 4-9 from the field. Had 5 turnovers, we got to fix that, but also had a couple of blocks. Jamari and Davis Fleming, kind of a breakout game for him, 11 points in 25 minutes of action, a perfect 5-5 from the floor and connected on his only free throw, also pulled down 5 rebounds. That's something that could prove to be very beneficial for these Bulldogs as we kind of move forward. Brandon Walker, you remember a couple games ago, he had some really good work and kind of mop-up time at double digits. And you're like, what? Against Iowa State, you're like, what? Why isn't he playing more? Well, he gets a start and gives you 11 points. 4-10 from the floor, knocked down a three-pointer in 4 attempts, pulled down 7 rebounds too, which is tied for the team high. Bulldogs really did a great job as a team on the glass here. You didn't just have one guy have a dominant performance. A lot of Bulldogs on the glass, for sure. Jaboy McGee made a start, had just 4 points. Sean Jones off the bench, 32 minutes of action, pitches in 9. Quincy Ballard, 8 points off the bench as well. Akor played just 9 minutes and had 3 points, 1 from the floor, and that proved to be a 3-point basket. And then Serge Macara gets in. Plays about 6 minutes, does not attempt a shot, did get fouled, pulled down a couple rebounds, and 5 in all. So pretty good job for him, but he's the guy, too, that's just kind of acclimating. But Mississippi State shot 44% in the half and then a sizzling 59% in the second half. When your opponent is converting about half their shots, it's not a good night for winning. More times than not, it's difficult to do. Georgia Tech, you can look at their numbers. They shot 33%, almost 34%. 8 of 30 from beyond the arc. And that's one of the things, too. Granted, State got out and did some defensive stuff, but, what we struggled was when teams that are consistent perimeter good shooters, that has been kind of our kryptonite in some respects. But, happy to get the dub. And now we kind of push ahead now and begin to think about kind of what's next. Bulldogs will be in Tupelo on Sunday, 3 o'clock tip against San Francisco. We want to put together a winning streak here, kind of find some juice. And again, kind of the lineup shakeup, maybe you run that same lineup out there against the Dons this week. Maybe that's how it works out. But kind of looking at what USF has done this year, they are 5-4 on the year. In the home opener, they blasted Santa Cruz 98-53. They lose at Memphis in a bit of a barn burner, 76-70. They bounce back to beat Portland State 80-70, and then they get Bradley, 75-64. Our friends in Natchitoches go out to San Francisco and come home with a 20-point loss as USF wins that game 84-64. They get Minnesota, though, and Sioux Falls in one of these neutral site get-togethers, 77-65. Now, they've come upon some tough times here as of late. They've lost three straight. Get off to the great start. Lose to Colorado out at the AccuSure Series at Palm Desert, California. They lose by 10 to Colorado and then by 16 to Nevada. And then they lose to North Alabama at home, 65-63. So we're kind of getting them at a point in their schedule when maybe things are not going as well as they'd hoped. They are 4-1 at home, 0-1 in true road games, 1-2 on the neutral floor, and this will classify as a neutral floor game. Dishing out 75 points, almost 76 a game, allowing right at 69. Nice. And then they look at this shooting numbers, about 45% as a team, defensively holding teams to about 40%. They will send it skyward, though. They will absolutely jack up some threes. They've attempted 234 this year, converted 89, so right at 38%. Their opponents have shot around 34%. Free throw shooting as a team, about 71. But they make about 10 threes a game. That's one thing, again, we got to watch that, especially even though it's going to be a Mississippi State crowd, it's a new gym for us. It's a different shooting background. It's almost like a road game for us. It's not our home gym, even though it's going to be a partisan crowd. They're plus 5.5 on the rebounding margin, pulled down almost 38 a game, and then right at 32 and change for their opponents. They dish out about 15.5 assists per game, 13.5 for their opponents. They do turn it over a little bit, about 13 times a game, and that's something we got to ramp up a little bit too. They turn it over more than their opponents. It's a minus 2. They will get out and get a little handsy at times. They get about 6 steals a game, 36 blocks. That's about 4 a game. Look at some individual numbers here. Ryan Beasley wears Buckshot, the double O, or double zero, I guess is more technically correct. But he leads the team at 13.1 points per game, and it's a pretty balanced group. Mookie Cook, I love it, man. I love it, Mookie. Love it. Has played mostly as a reserve, but plays starter quality minutes, a dozen points a game. David Futch, off the bench, 10.4 points a game. Tyrone Riley, the fourth, has started all 9 games and is a double-digit scorer as well. And from there, you know, it kind of tips off just a little bit. Saba Djibaria, we'll go with that, 9.5 points a game. Oh, that's not correct. Rebounding. My mistake, but I'm just kind of getting up to speed on these guys. But again, kind of a balanced scoring operation here. And a team, for the most part, that gets everybody on the glass. David Futch leads the team with 40, pulling down 6.5 a game. But it's been a team opportunity here. Mookie Cook, we talked about him. And you got to think, somebody in his family's got to be a Mookie Blaylock fan. Got to be. Maybe not on the level of Pearl Jam, but they got to be. But he leads the team with 11 blocks this year. Wears one. He is a 6'6", 215-pound power forward out of Portland, Oregon. But clearly a guy that works around the rim, but also a guy, too, that will turn it over. 21 turnovers on the year. So you like State's chances here, but don't be surprised if it's a little closer than you want it to be. But, we need Mississippi State to play like Mississippi State, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like we have expectations. We feel like Chris Chance has kind of built a brand, kind of prioritizing defense and effort. And at times this year it hadn't been there. And I think shaking the lineup up a little against Georgia Tech kind of sends the right message to some guys not to get comfortable, but also, too, to some guys, hey, you play hard and you play with big effort, you will have the opportunity to start. And you look at Brandon Walker, right? That's kind of where we are and how things have gone. So won't be surprised if we don't start the same five. But you never know. Chris Jans is a technician and a tactician, and so he will look at this matchup and figure out what works best for us. And then we'll kind of go from there. All right, women's side of things. Women kind of quietly putting together a good non-conference. We expected that. We weren't sure what to make of this team, and I still think it behooved Sam Purcell to schedule somewhat light in the non-conference. Get some identity. Find a rhythm. Find out who you can trust. Ladies are now 8-1. They have won four in a row. Of course, the long loss was the one road game we played at Texas Tech, and a game that we still feel like we should have won. A dreadful second quarter. I guess it'll stay with us all year. But, man, what an absolute blowout last night as the Bulldogs take down the Lady Panthers of Pitt. We talked about that in our preview. They're 6-4 coming in. They're 6-5 now. But, man, the early going, it was a bit of a tussle. And then all of a sudden, Destiny McFall's like, hey, just ride with me. State wins the first quarter 20-8, and then by halftime, it is 42-14. It was just a matter of what the final score was going to be. But give Sam Purcell and the ladies some credit. Continued to pour it on there in the third quarter, the best offensive quarter of the game, with State scoring 28 points against 14 for Pitt. And then Pitt wins the fourth quarter against the reserves 16-9. But State wins by 35, 79-44. Looking at this, Carla Villegas, we talked about her being a three-point shooter. Hey, she got her numbers. She went 5 of 7 beyond the arc and 15 points to lead Pitt. They have 44 points, 15 of them come from her. They're three-point marks and marks lady. And then Michaela Johnson pitches in 10. Outside of that, not a whole lot happened positively for Pitt. They did pull down 41 rebounds. And you say, well, yes, that's a good number. When you're missing, there's going to be a lot of rebounds. State still out-rebounded them 51-41. Yeah, good stuff. Destiny McFall leads all scorers with 22 points, and in favor Nwadazi, well, with 14 for State. She would have 7 of 10 from the floor. Missed her long free throw, but also pulled down 7 rebounds. You got a double-double last night from Madison Francis, the young, very talented newcomer. 10 rebounds, 10 points, 7 of those rebounds on the defensive end. Just 4 of 10 from the floor, but did make both free throws. If you get a double-double from her, you feel pretty good about life. Triana Crisp, 8 points for her. Chandler Prater, just a couple in 19 minutes of action. Kind of a tough night on the floor for her. And when you've got a starter that goes 1 for 7 and you still win by 35, then everybody else did a really good job. Chandler did a good job defensively and also pulled down 5 rebounds. Handed out a pair of assists as well. But, you know, again, it's a night where everybody gets to play, and it's a night where everybody gets a chance to feel good on the way home. Ladies are back in action this Sunday against Charlotte. 7 p.m. is your tip time. So we'll have the Bulldogs in Tupelo, the men. You can watch that game, and then mosey on down to Stark Vegas and basically watch a bit of a doubleheader. So looking at the Charlotte Lady 49ers, they are 4-5 this year. Opened up the season with a 13-point loss to Auburn. They get Campbell, the Fighting Campbells, 61-50. They win at Central Florida, 66-64, and then they played LSU. Now, one of the things that I have said many times on this show and in private conversations, probably the greatest disparity in college sports is in women's basketball, because the haves hammer the have-nots in biblical-type proportions. This is one of those instances. Charlotte goes into Baton Rouge, the Maravich Assembly Center, and LSU wins 117-59. Now, LSU's great, and Kilmaukee's a legendary coach. 117-59. That's the kind of stuff people make bumper stickers about. They go to Cal and lose to the Golden Bears, 69-44. Bounce back against Oakland, 66-41. They get Wofford, 73-59, and then they play Oklahoma State down in the Caymans, lose that game 74-65, and then they lose to George Washington. So 0-2 down in the Cayman Islands Classic. So they will enter Mississippi State on a two-game losing streak. Again, 4-5 overall, 2-1 at home. They've played a lot of games away from their home arena. They're 1-2 in true road games and 1-2 on neutral floors, as mentioned, both of those games in the Caymans. But this should be a game that State should win. And I think being at home and with all that's going on, all this travel and stuff, Bulldogs should be 9-1 come close of business on Sunday. Let's look inside some individual numbers here, just for your own individual scouting reports. Princess Anderson leads the team with nearly 15 points a game, 14.9. She's also pulled down 18 rebounds, 18 steals on top of that. So very handsy effort. Zoe Best, 10.2 points a game. That's your only two double-digit scorers. Zoe does it, a little bit different. Pulled down 30 boards for them. Princess Anderson, obviously a guard that gets out and does some things. But Zoe Best is a 5'10 guard as well. But it appears that she's a little more of a three-point shooter, I guess, and she gets on the glass. She's 21 of 56. Most made three-point baskets and attempted on the year for the 49ers. They've attempted 202 three-pointers, shooting 31%. And of those 64 made threes, 38 of them are between Anderson and Best. So you shut them down, you probably shut down this team. But again, not a lot of scoring options outside of them. Tanaja Hayes has seven, almost 8 points a game. That's pretty much it. It's kind of a two-woman offense. Daphne White has had 11 blocks for them, as has Caitlin Staley. That's kind of an unusual statistic to have two players with double-digit blocks at this point in the season. So we'll see how things go. But it's been maybe kind of a hodgepodge start for them. And what I mean by that is they don't appear to have settled their starting five. Zoe Best and Tanaja Hayes have started every game. Azanae Nicholson has done 8 of 9. And then Princess Anderson, just 6. She's played in all 9, but she started just 6. They're just kind of trying to find it. Like Daphne White's got 4 games. Genevia Gage has 4. Monty Smith with 4. So it's clear they're trying to find the right five to kind of get going with. But we'll see how things go, but I fully expect a dub. And they're averaging 62 points a game, giving up almost 70. And so, again, the numbers are skewed a little bit because of the LSU loss. But it should be a game that we can handle. They are getting out-rebounded. They're getting out-scored most nights. And you look up and you say, you know what? All I know is that we should win a game. And I know a lot of people are like, hey, maybe the glory days are back. I don't know that I agree with that, but I think that this is a really good Sam Purcell team. But the quality of competition in non-conference has not been elite. But I think, again, the decision to schedule a little lighter in the non-conference, I think will benefit this team long-term, because you'll have the opportunity, again, to kind of build some chemistry and just kind of find an identity. So after that game, we're going to take a few days off, and it won't be long. We'll be done with the non-conference portion of the schedule. Next Sunday, Southern Miss and Missy Bilderback comes to town. Alabama State will be here, and then we'll travel to LaSalle and come home for Stanford. And next thing you know, New Year's Day, we open up against Auburn to get into SEC play, and that's an important aspect of this thing too. So that's your basketball recap and preview of what's coming. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially if you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You've always thought about it and said, man, wouldn't it be great if we had the opportunity to get everybody together under one roof and just enjoy each other's company? Well, you can. The old renovated Country Club Clubhouse out past the Highlands off 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. Maybe it's a Christmas event. Maybe it's a baby shower event. I don't know your needs, but I know the facility. It is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate, and you can peruse all the pictures available to you and your guests of all the amenities, and you can see the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths, plenty of parking. That's an underrated amenity, because how many times you go rent a place and there's just no room for everybody to park and it becomes a bit of an adventure? Well, no worries at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. They can accommodate dozens of golfers. They can accommodate you and your friend or family. We've stayed there, had a great time, did it for last New Year's, and just kind of, we cooked one night, got food the other, and just kind of sat around and watched college football all weekend and just enjoyed each other, played some board games. Our family's kind of outgrown the house. We got this big house out in the country, but you know, now that we got grandkids, it's just difficult to find every place, everybody a place to sleep. And so you don't have to think about that or worry about that at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, after you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up. You'll see Airbnb, you'll see VRBO. You can go that route if you want to, up to you. Maybe you've got a credit with them. I don't know. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. And how cool is that? Just by listening to this show, we're giving some incentive to give these fine folks a try. Great people, great Bulldogs, and a great facility for a great time for all the great people in your life. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, there will be some college decisions made today. I am not expecting any of them to choose Mississippi State. Part of that is Mississippi State's decision. Yeah, if we really wanted some of these guys, we could, right? But you got to be smart about it, right? You can't get caught up in the emotion of signing day and think, man, we're so close on the cusp of being a top 25 class. And you go out and sign a high school guy that maybe doesn't make you a better team next year. And let's just be honest about it. Jeff Lebby and crew got to win next year. And so for every high school guy you take, there's going to be some guys that perhaps aren't going to participate next year. They're not going to put you in a scenario where perhaps they make you a better football team. Now, what's interesting about that aspect of it is, you know, LSU, of course, still right there at number six, but LSU has Kenny Darby that decommitted earlier this year, earlier this month. Last night, the intel was probably headed to Colorado. However, Joe Sloan, who was the offensive coordinator under Brian Kelly at LSU, has taken the job at Kentucky. While I haven't crystal balled Darby to Kentucky, I think that makes the most sense. One of the things that Darby told me Wednesday night, and it was a very emotional conversation, and it was difficult for me because this is a young man considering his future. And under a tremendous amount of pressure. And he's like, how can I go down there and play when I don't even know these guys? You know, that's a fair question. Well, Joe Sloan is a guy that he knows. And Joe's going to Kentucky. Now, Kentucky's not Baton Rouge. Lexington is completely different. But it's a nice facility. It's a nice community. Could be a good landing spot for him. Now, Kenny Darby, not going to make us a better team next year. Not. Right? Jace Matthews, I love Jace Matthews' game at Green County. Love him. Love his game. And in the spring, I really thought he was going to choose Mississippi State. He ends up blowing up, commits to Auburn, tears the ACL, probably needs another full year under the guided supervision of a medical team on the college level to ensure that he gets back to who he is and who he can be. Jace Matthews probably not going to play much next year, if at all. Doesn't make Mississippi State a better team. And I understand the money that's kind of getting thrown around to get Jace Matthews, who I think is a phenomenal wide receiver, is probably a bit more than we should pay or want to pay for a guy that's not going to probably see the field for 2 years. Bryson Cooley, a guy that after – even before Brian Kelly was fired at LSU, I felt really good about Mississippi State's chances. I have found out recently Alabama is his mother's favorite team. And I understand Alabama has put a good deal in place for him. I expect him to commit to Alabama. Now, hey, if Mississippi State absolutely really wanted him, you could probably go get him. But again, when you think about the construct and the parameters around the 2026 season for Mississippi State, you begin to kind of ask yourself, does Bryson Cooley make you a better team next year as a freshman? I would say probably not. I think Bryson Cooley has the potential to be a really, really good offensive lineman. But I don't expect him to come here. So I think your signing class will remain what it is unless something just nuts pops up. I think we've done well. And I think when you look at the rest of this, you know, the way it all kind of plays out here, considering the fact that we went 2-10 last year and 5-7, and you can sell the fact that we're making some progress. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that aspect of it. But I don't think there's going to be any new toys today. And by the time you listen to this show, these decisions have probably already been made and communicated. And I suspect that'll probably be the case, you know. We run it down as best we can for as long as we can, just kind of to make sure where we are. Now, Kenny Darby is going to announce at 1 o'clock today. And again, as of now, I think it's probably Kentucky. Colorado or Kentucky, but I lean a little more to Kentucky. Now, Jace Matthews, I'm not exactly sure what he's going to do. I just know that it won't be Mississippi State. I had some folks tell me there may be a scenario here where he waits, and I don't know if that's right or not. I knew Ole Miss has kind of come in on him a little bit here as of late, and I think that's something to watch too. That's a signing class that was a big disappointment to them. On National Signing Day, wasn't a great class. But I think when you look at this scenario, you know, with Auburn, you're losing Braylon Womack, likely losing Jace Matthews. That's a signing class that I think is probably going to be a disappointment for a lot of people within the Southeastern Conference that root for Auburn. I mean, as it stands right now, they're 14th in the conference, and then you're about to lose one of your most highly rated players. They'll probably stay at 14, but it's not a great class. Not a great class. They're ranked 37th in the country right now, and they have everybody signed except for Jace Matthews. And so you lose Jace Matthews, and you're probably going to end up somewhere in the 40s, probably mid to high 40s when it's all said and done. But they're already behind Mississippi State, so we're not going to pick up anything there. Kentucky, with the addition of Darby, will still probably remain 16th. I don't know what else they've got cooking out there. But you know, you look at this LSU thing, they lose Kenny Darby. That's already reflected in the numbers. And then Bryson Cooley could be another one that doesn't sign as well. And they've got three guys out there that have not signed that still count in the rankings. Lamar Brown, a five-star out of U High there in Baton Rouge. You would think that would work out. He is considered the number one offensive lineman in the country, the number four prospect overall, regardless of position. You'd expect they'd find a way to get that done in their backyard. And there's Deuce Gerolds out of Collins Hill High School in Sewanee, Georgia, a four-star defensive tackle. It'll be interesting to see what he does. But that's still reflective. So as of right now, LSU has a five-star and two four-stars counted in their commitment list that has them still kind of hanging in there at sixth in the SEC overall. And then looking at them at number 12 within the country. So if they lost all three of them, then you start thinking, well, do they drop out of the top 25? I think that that's probably asking a bit much, but with only 12 signees in this class, you know, it's not a great class. And Lane Kiffin and that group will probably spend a lot of time and money in the portal. So you know, when you really look at this thing, unless LSU falls behind us, we're going to end the class 26th in the country, just right there on the cusp of a top 25 class. And I don't know if Jeff Lebby has, you know, those recruiting regulations and incentives in his contract. But I think it says, if he does, I think it says a lot about Mississippi State and Jeff Lebby that we're not just going to go sign a kid to trigger a bonus for our head coach. Again, I don't know if he has those incentives, but some do. You get a top 25 class, you get a bonus. Top 10 class, you get a bonus. There are some contracts that certainly have those type of incentives in them. But it would be easy for State just to go out there and say, okay, well, let's just go overpay for a guy to just get a number. And that's kind of the Ole Miss way of doing things. And I don't know if that always works out. But I do know that we're making some changes in some respects when it comes to how we're handling money. And, you know, everybody gets a little something. But, you know, the bulk of your money, and we've said this before, you know, the top 80% of your money that you spend on football should go to about 50 players. That's typically the guys you're going to play. Like, everybody should get a little something and have some incentive as well to understand, hey, if I come in here and I work hard and I become a two-deeper, I'm going to get more of the rev share. That's probably a way to do it, you know. But we can't go out there and just go, you know, pay somebody that hasn't done anything on a college level. And I think some of the money being thrown around here doesn't make a lot of sense. But there's a lot of things that don't make a lot of sense to your good friend and host. And kind of looking at this thing with Ole Miss, too, you know, they're behind us. But Jaylon Chapman is unsigned, a commitment out of Warren Easton High School. And so, you know, everybody's got a little something out there. There's still a little bit, some things to kind of work through. But, you know, we'll see how it all goes. But I am pleased with the class. I know some people always want new toys. And, you know, we did get the post-signing press conference commitment and signing of Chris Addison. Now, initially, he was just going to wait and announce today, but he went ahead and got it over. There will be a ceremony today around 1:30, I think, at the school, and I hope to speak to him afterwards. I spoke to Coach Adrian Burnett earlier and had a lot of great things to say about Addison, and that is on jeanspage.com right now for members, and that is a great time to be a member, 50% off the annual subscription price. And so there's a lot of talk out there, too, about what Mississippi State is going to do with the defensive coordinator position. One of the things that I want to tell you, back to like the Braylon Womack, DJ Durkin thing, that was never a thing. Now, some people kind of did some deductive reasoning and thought, well, hey, if Womack's coming, maybe Durkin's coming, too. Well, Durkin wasn't the primary reason that Womack committed to Auburn in the first place. He liked them, certainly. And Durkin's done a good job at Auburn. But they were not a package deal. And some people tried to kind of suggest that. And then when it doesn't work out, they think, oh, well, Levy and the staff couldn't close. It was just a non-starter, guys. And it's important to understand that. And I want to give you a little background here just so you know. There's a lot of people out there with sources, with Dr. Evil quotes, that have a lot to say that really don't know much. And one of the things that I was told when these rumors kind of started making the round is it DJ Durkin, obviously, unless there was a scenario where Coach Golish just didn't want him, that, you know, they would move on, right? But, you know, the Durkins have made their money, right? I don't think people fully appreciate that aspect of these coaching searches. I am told from multiple sources that the Durkin family is extremely happy at Auburn and that, while it was not a requirement, it was kind of a recommendation, you know, to keep him on. And Golish, of course, is a, you know, an offensive-minded guy. And so, and listen, when you watch that Auburn defense play this year, why would you change, right? You look back at this, okay? Let's just kind of start. Think about your own family for a second. So Durkin goes to Ole Miss, is the co-DC and linebackers coach for 2 years. Then takes the job at A&M for 2 years. Then goes to Auburn. Was the DC in 24, DC in 25. If he moves again, it's another two-year move. Now, kids, especially coaches' kids, they kind of understand, you know, how things work. They understand that you can't get too close because you'll have an opportunity to move. I am told from the very beginning of this process that DJ Durkin's wife is like, I really don't want to have to move unless we have to move. Now, that didn't stop all this internet chatter, you know, right? And it's fun to dream, but the reality of it is this was a non-starter. This was a non-starter. Yeah, Mississippi State had to reach out to him. Why would you not? Because you got to see where they are. Not to mention, when you bring in a new coach, there's no guarantee that Alex Golish was going to keep DJ Durkin. right? Now, I know that when, you know, that's the stories have gotten out there that, you know, John Summerall was kind of told, hey, we'd like to keep Durkin. But the reality of it is there's some people out there that kind of worked against Summerall to Auburn. There were some other people that were advocating for him, but there's some other people out there that felt like Auburn would be better, and there were some people that were advocating for DJ Durkin to get the job. And there are a lot of agencies out there that really don't want their clients to take jobs at the expense of others. I mean, that's just kind of how life works. But that's why we all, you know, we should have great agents. But this DJ Durkin thing is not anything to think, oh my gosh, this just went south on us. It really never got that involved. And I think that's important to understand. The Durkins wanted to stay at Auburn, provided they had the opportunity, unless he got a head coaching opportunity somewhere. That's where things were. That's as simple as I can make it. And, of course, there's a lot of discussion out there about Brent Pry, the former Virginia Tech head coach, a guy that worked with James Franklin, I think, 14 years. And I am told that he will make a decision today. Mississippi State is involved in that. But also the opportunity to remain at Virginia Tech is an option. And that's a fun thing to look at, too, as you begin to kind of work through all this, is that, you know, Fry's got high school age kids as well. You know, do they see it the same way the Durkins see it? You know, they fired him. They had to pay him out, right? And so you can kind of pick and choose when you got money in the bank. But I think it would be kind of awkward to stay there. But when you've worked with James Franklin for, what, over a dozen years, 14 years or so, then you look at it and you can kind of feel like, hey, you know, we can make this thing work. And maybe that's the case. I don't know. But we don't expect that to tally long. I will say that there are some other candidates, and there are two that I am aware of, that if offered, will accept a job at Mississippi State, that are experienced coordinators on the Power Four level. So I think that is the thing that you guys probably need to appreciate. This is not going to be a free fall type situation. This is not going to be a scenario where we don't get a good defensive coordinator, that we don't address our needs on the defensive side of the football. That's important for you guys to understand. We'll have more information as it all happens at jeanspage.com. And again, you can come subscribe for 50% off the annual subscription price. So I share that with you because I wanted you to have an update. Things begin to kind of trickle out there. And sometimes people think, oh, well, if this is leaking, this must be it. That is not always the case. It is a very competitive field. And there are sometimes that people put things out there to ensure that they get some scoop. Or, you know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we're hearing. We do the same thing, right? But there are a lot of times we sit on news until we feel good about news. We're not going to just throw everything out there against the wall and confuse you all. And again, it's like a scenario too. I can guarantee, like if Brent Pry elects to stay at Virginia Tech, there will be some people immediately, they'll say, we blew Durkin, we blew Pry. You don't know what's going on. And sometimes perception's not reality. And I share that, you know, as honestly and as lovingly as I can. And so, reaching out to a source right now. So, let's kind of move forward here. You need to come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Busy stretch, too. And now's a good time to get in, right? There's going to be a lot of people moving around town. And maybe you get an opportunity, of course, to just kind of get a break for yourself. If you have chronic anxiety or pain or you just need a break, maybe a mental reset, floating may be the answer for you. It has been for me. I can't speak highly enough of it. That's why I went and opened the franchise. And we have had a tremendous response to our Black Friday, Cyber Monday special. We're going to run that throughout the holidays where you can get a package of floats for one low price. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have. She's a registered nurse. So if you got medical concerns or questions, she can answer those. We don't just have just somebody up there. It's an ownership thing, right? We own it. It's a mom-and-pop operation, but it's almost always mom, right? And she loves her clients, and it's done a great job up there. And, coming up on our two-year anniversary. Yeah, I remember in the beginning people said, well, I don't know why this will ever work, but it's working. It's working. We're helping a lot of people. We may be able to help you too. And again, as we mentioned earlier, visit DutyNobleBook.com. in the middle of the show, I had somebody that messaged me. I won't say where because I don't want to tip it off, because the listener that's getting the books purchased for them may be listening today. So I don't even want to mention the city or the state. But somebody's wife hit me up and said, hey, my husband's a huge fan of yours, loves the show, and I want to get him some of your books for Christmas. How do we do it? Well, you go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls. And I think that's a book. It amazes me, almost without fail, that I get a week, maybe every 6 weeks, where I don't hear from somebody about that book. And when you write books like that, you want to be as honest and as impactful and inspirational as you can be. And I'll have people that will message me and say, hey, a friend of mine gave me this book. A friend of mine bought me this book. I borrowed this from a friend of mine, and it really impacted me, and loved your story. And you know, the reason you write stuff like that is you want to do as much good as you can in the world. And that's why I wrote that. It's not a vanity project. There's some things in there that are very unflattering to me. But it's about me trying to help the still suffering addict and those who love them. And the response to that book has been tremendous. And I can't thank you all enough. It's basically me naked in front of the world. And I've had a lot of people that say, Steve, when are you going to write When the Bottom Falls 2? You know, I got to live a little bit longer. And there's some stories I didn't include in that book because I don't want my kids to read them, you know. But yeah, there's some more of that coming in the years ahead, you know. And if I live till Wednesday, it'll be 34 years clean and sober. And so I get a little chip-itis as we get close. I get a little squirrely-headed, you know what I mean? It's just like, not that I ever think about picking up or using, but it's like every year I begin to think about the magnitude of all this. You know, to be 34 years, you know, I mean, it's like, it's just remarkable to think the resolve that I had to have in early recovery to make it to this point. And for the record, I haven't relapsed yet. Got clean and sober. I learned my lesson. I'm just kind of stubborn in the right way. Nevertheless, I hope you all have a great weekend. I'm going to get this story loaded, the story loaded and the show loaded, and then we're going to make our way over to Davis Wade Stadium and get to know who our new state champions are. And again, 4 o'clock kick today is Kosciuszko and Columbia High School kickoff, and provided we win, I'll probably go sing the alma mater with the football team in front of the band. That's the hope anyway. But anyway, hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you back on Monday. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.